Okay, let us open with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we thank you for Sunday school. We thank you for a time in which we can come together and just sit and park in your word for a bit and learn, Lord God, and grow, Lord God, and develop, Lord God. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord God, and I pray that you would help us and strengthen us, Lord God. Father, there's so much going on, Lord God, so much hurt, oh Lord, so much pain, so much disappointment, Lord God. But Lord, we know that we can overcome in you, Lord God. So we pray by your Holy Spirit that you would help us, oh God, to overcome, that you would help us to be strong as you would help us to hold on, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, oh Lord, for your blessed word. We thank you that you got the victory and we stand in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to go continuing our lesson. Several announcements. Next week is Mother's Day, and we're going to have a special treat because Rita Barella is going to bring us the lesson next week. She is my substitute teacher. So she's going to bring the lesson next week because I will be in the Mother's Day choir. We have a little Mother's Day choir that we put together. Girl. So I need to sing in both services. So we're going to have a Mother's Day choir. So Rita's going to bring the lesson. Yay. And then on Memorial Day, there will only be one service. So we will not have Sunday school on Memorial Day weekend because we will only have one service. So there will be no Sunday school on Memorial Day weekend. So anyway, we're going to continue. As you know, we started with the battle plan of prayer last week. Virginia, can I borrow your book for just a second? This is our book, Battle Plan for Prayer. We started last week, and we were just going through the introduction, and we were just talking about this symbol. The whole introduction is about the meaning of this symbol, and there's so much richness as we talked about this symbol. And Virginia was telling me that the symbol is on the steeple of the church. I didn't know that. So, yeah, so it's a Christian symbol that I've seen around, but they're actually breaking down what all those parts of that symbol means. And last week we started talking about the symbol, and we talked about what the crosshairs mean. The crosshairs had to do with the cross and your salvation, and that you knew Christ and that you have accepted Christ into your heart. Because before we can even begin a battle plan of prayer, you got to have a relationship with Jesus. Okay, so you need to know who he is. So it starts with the cross. So I talked about that middle symbol was about the cross. We talked about the vertical lines. Because after you get to know Jesus, then you have to develop this relationship, this vertical relationship has got to be in place. And this vertical relationship, it's ongoing, okay? It's ever growing, ever going deeper. You don't get to a place where you just accept Christ and you park. When you accept Christ, it is a relationship. That means it is alive. It is growing. It is thriving. You know what happens when you don't nurture a relationship. It gets old, it gets stale, it just isn't what it is used to be, but when you nurture it. And I'm telling you, folks, there are always deeper places to go in Christ. So this right here, you got to make sure if everything else falls apart, this keeps going.
That's right.
You know, that vertical, those vertical lines represents that you are keeping your relationship with Christ ever intact, ever growing, ever going to be what it's supposed to be, that relationship with Christ. And now we're going to move on in your lesson. If you need a handout, there's a handout in the back. On the horizontal lines in that symbol, the horizontal lines represent relationship with each other. Okay, now it's going to get heavy in here. So we're going to talk about, because it's all right. You know, we're all right with Jesus, okay? But when it comes to, you know, each other, okay, we have issues because we're not perfect like Jesus is. So let's talk about those horizontal lines and how relevant that is to our prayer life, is that relationship with each other. So in your lesson where it says horizontal lines, it says the horizontal lines in the cross and on both sides reminds us to stay right with others. This includes forgiveness, apologizing, and also praying in agreement with others. And this is from the book Battle Plan of Prayer. And all those three parts, forgiving each other. We've already hit that. Boy, we've just sort of went into that over and over in the war room lesson. Apologizing, that's a hard one. You know, being able to apologize and then also praying in agreement. And we're going to talk about boy, how important that is, that we take each other's hand, we pray in agreement, or we talk to each other and pray in agreement. So the first point in your lesson, Jesus taught us in that scripture from Matthew 5, it says, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and while there you remember that your brother has something, such as a grievance or legitimate complaint against you, leave your offering there at the altar and go. First, make peace with your brother, and then come and present your offering. And that's Matthew 5, 23, 24. And I thought this scripture was very interesting because it says you're presenting an offering to God. You know, it's not like you're asking for something. It's like you're trying to present something to God. And it said God won't even receive what you're giving to him when your brothers and sisters have a legitimate complaint against you. Us. You know, boy, I'm like, so I'm not even asking. I'm just trying to give God something. And it's like, God, it's like, no, I don't even want you, what you have. Go get things right before you even bring me something. You know, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Never think that God needs what you're offering. Because sometimes we get that in our head. I can do whatever I want and I don't have to apologize. And I can, because God needs my gifts and God needs my talent. And boy, look what a great teacher I am. So God doesn't need, God needs me to be here. Oh, never think that. For every single one of us, God will tell all of us. I don't care how well you can sing. I don't care how pretty you are. You know, I don't care how handsome you are. You know. God does not need what you're offering. And he won't wink at our sin when we treated others badly. Because he wants us to do everything we do for the cause of Christ. Even if we're working for the cause of Christ, he's not going to wink at our sin because we're working for the cause of Christ. Because sometimes we as Christians, we get caught up in that. Well, look at how much I do for the church. And look at how much I give to the church. And look, oh, don't go there. Don't go there with God, because this scripture says right there, if you're presenting your offering to God, that's what your gifts are, your offering to God. He says, no, leave it right there and go get it right and then come back. God does not need what we're offering. We've got to get our standing with God. John the Baptist taught this, and this is in Matthew 3, 9 and 10. He said, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Oh, man. You see, do you understand how heavy that is? They were boasting and bragging, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Oh, we're the children of Abraham. So they thought they could do whatever they want. And John the Baptist says, don't even presume that you're all that just because you're in the bloodline of Abraham. God can call up bloodlines and children out of stones. Oh my goodness, and we've got to get that. You know, and it goes on to say in verse 10, the axe lies ready at the root of the trees. Oh my goodness. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. This is Matthew 3, 9 and 10. I hope you're getting what this is saying. God is like, you know what? I know you think you're all that. I can raise up 10 more like you just from the utterance of my word. You know, and that's what's going on in this scripture. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they thought they were all that. Oh, we're children of Abraham, so we're special and we're all that. And so they didn't have to adhere to what was being said. They didn't have to adhere to the word of God that was coming forth, you know, through John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had to tell them straight like it was. And the axe is laid at the root of the tree, meaning God will cut you down. You can be cut down in a heartbeat, you know, because, you know, that's the way God operates. He doesn't need us. He loves us and he cares for us and he protects us and he keeps us. But don't ever think that he needs you, because that's where we get prideful and that's where we get arrogant and that's where we mess up. So as we go on in your lesson, this passage showcases Christ's heart toward us being in unity with each other. The passage in Matthew 5 about leaving your offering. Repeatedly, Jesus taught that if you have something against your brothers or sisters, it will hinder your prayers, your conversations, and your requests before God. God is ever peering into your heart, and the stain of resentment or anger or hatred of others alters his response to your prayers. Don't think you can just, well, I usher and I do this and I do that and I fed the hungry and I served on the I sang in the choir and I serve on the praise team. So therefore, even though I have this issue, I can come. Jesus took this very seriously. I mean, he repeatedly taught about what we have, those horizontal lines that we what we have with each other. And that it be right and correct. And remember, it legitimate. I know people can accuse you for things that are false and things that are not true, or they want you to do certain things, or people that are controlling and they want you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when they have a legitimate complaint against you. You have done something that you need to address, and you know you need to address it, but you think you're going to just sweep it under the rug and go on. No, you have to get it right. He knows how much... He wants us to have that relationship right because he knows it'll hurt you eventually when you don't have things right with people, because it hurts this. It hurts the vertical line. So that's why he wants you to get it right. Therefore, he will compel you to get it right to the point where he'll say, I'm not even listening to your prayers until you get it right. See, that's how important it is to him. And it's often a lesson in humility and getting over yourself. Folks, I'm telling you, I mean, you know, I'm still working on it, getting over myself. But boy, that's what it comes down to. You got to get over yourself, you know, because that's what it's all about. You know, as I said, as Andrew Murray said, every human sin comes back to pride. That's why we don't do it. That's why we got issues, is because it comes back to pride. So you have to get over yourself so you can focus on the purposes of God. That's all. That's what we're here for, God. We're on this planet for the purpose of God. But we have to get over ourselves. You know, we have to get so that, you know, nothing between me and you, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Sometimes you can't resolve things. Sometimes people are going to be angry even after you apologize. But make sure you've done your part, you know. So not returning insult for insult. They can insult you, but you better watch it. Because you don't want your prayers hindered, you know. And as far as I know, there is no legitimate excuse before God for holding an ought or holding a hatred against somebody. I know. I mean, you know, you've seen, heard the stories about the people and people that have even killed loved ones and stuff like that. And you know, you think, well, they have a legitimate right to hate and to, you know, and to. Oh, I'm telling you, I've checked the word; it's not in there. We still have to forgive, even when people have done horrible and heinous things to us. And I happen to know, and you've heard the stories of forgiveness, and you say to yourself, how could you forgive that person? But it, because of Jesus Christ, the overcoming, he will, oh boy, he can help you overcome so much. He just goes in your heart and he wipes that stuff out of there, that anger, that hatred, he wipes it out so that you can give. That you can forgive, and so that we can continue and focus on the purpose of God. You know, the scripture says this, and this is in Ephesians 4, 3, 6. Please write this scripture down. I wish I would have put it in your lesson. Ephesians 4, 3, 6. It says, Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Each individual working together to make the whole successful. Do you understand when we talk about the body of Christ, especially between us? We have to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And the way the apostle is writing this, he's writing this in this way because it is work to keep unity. It's not going to just happen. You know, because we come to church and we come on in and, oh, we sing our praise songs and we think we're going to be unified. But no, I mean, look around you. Look at the history of the Church of Jesus Christ and all the things that have happened. The church splits, the breakdowns, the people that leave mad, and all of the things that happen in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's why the apostle wrote to us. All these years ago, he worked to the church at Ephesus and told them, endeavor. endeavor, fight for it. The unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And that means you got to be ready to apologize. You got to be ready to apologize to your brother. You got to be ready to humble yourself before your brother. You got to be ready to get over yourself and get over your pride for the good of your brother, your sister. You know, and sometimes they, you know, sometimes they were in the wrong, and the Holy Spirit will still tell you, go and apologize. But they did, but they go and apologize, because it's not about just you. It's about that soul that could end up in the devil's hell if you don't apologize. Can you? I mean, you've got to think in the eternal. You got to stop thinking in the temporal. You got to start thinking in the eternal. Where is that person going to end up? Yes, they did do you wrong. But if there's something you can find, you know what? I shouldn't have talked to you that way. I know, yes, I know you took my car, and yes, you wrecked it, but I shouldn't have talked to you that way. I know you set my house on fire, but I should
have. All right, now that's a bit much.
That's a bit much. Too much. But I shouldn't have talked to you. But you know what? We have to think, and again, you have to think in the eternal. We'll laugh about it, but think in the eternal. What is a soul worth to you? I know what it's worth to God, because he sent his son to die for it. What is it worth to you? Is it worth a house? Is it worth a car? What is it worth? Even a relation. What is it worth? You know, think in the eternal. You know, God has helped me to get over things. Everything that man made is going to depreciate, folks. You know, when you leave and you're not taking a bit of this stuff with you, everything's going to be left here. So get it in perspective. You know, your children. What are your children worth? Are they worth more than a house and a car and all that stuff that we put ahead of these souls? You know, so sometimes more than anything, we got to get over ourselves and say, Lord, I'm going to go do it. And sometimes they don't even respond the right way. I think I told you some of my stories. You know, God told me to tell, I'm sorry for how. And it was just, I mean, the apology was stuck in my throat. Okay. I'm sorry for all that happened, you know, just trying to get it out. And then they responded like, well, I forgive you too. And I was like, oh, blood was at a low simmer, man. And I was like, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. You know, because I need you now. But, you know, even though my emotions weren't line up with it, I was obedient. As best I could be obedient. And then after doing it, that's when the Holy Spirit came and really brought the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, the peace of God goes beyond what happened. You know, even if you walked out embarrassed, they embarrassed you, and you know, you try to apologize and they just made you feel worse. You know, later on, the peace of God that passes all understanding, even though it turned out the way it did, it overcomes you, and you know everything is all right. You know, so God is so good. So again, the apostle says, make every effort to keep the oneness of the spirit and the bond of peace, each individual working to make the whole successful. And verse 4 says, there is one body of believers and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when called to salvation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is sovereign over all and working through all and living in all. Folks, oh man, we can't slice and dice up Jesus's church, you know, to what, you know, with all of our different labels and stuff like that. I'm like, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him? Do you believe in his word? Then you're my brother, you're my sister, you know, and we're going to go forward and do what we need to do in the Lord. In this verse, Paul is referring to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. If you go back to Ephesians 4 and you look at verse 1, he addresses himself as I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus. I'm like, so you got to see the mentality he was in when he was writing this. I am a prisoner of the Lord. Meaning I'm doing whatever I can to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And if that means I have to keep my mouth shut, that means if I don't get the accolades, that means if I have to apologize, that means if I have to humble myself, that means if I have to give up stuff, I'm going to do it. Because I am the prisoner of the Lord. I am his prisoner. And that means I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. So you got to get, you know, when you look at the whole context of Ephesians 4, you can get the idea of what was going on in his head when he wrote this. You know, because I'm sure, well, I know, because you read the scriptures, there was quibbles and all kind of things going on. Even back when the church was just beginning, there was divisions and there were, you know, fightings and, you know, things going on with people. So he wrote this, trying to get them to understand that when you accept Jesus Christ, you become his prisoner. And that means you do whatever he tells you to do. You know, you work. And what it means is that he was over himself. And all he was doing is what he did for Christ. He was forgiving. He was asking forgiveness from brothers and sisters and even unbelievers. Asking for forgiveness from even an unbeliever. Because you're looking at that soul. You're looking at the eternal. You're a prisoner of Jesus Christ. God loves that person. Believer and unbeliever alike, Jesus loves them. And you've got to understand you're that representative of Jesus Christ. You're the prisoner of Christ. What are you going to do with that person? Are you going to do your own agenda? You're going to carry out your own agenda concerning them? Speak your mind? You know, get this off your chest? You know? Or are you going to be the prisoner of Christ? And humble yourself. And take it. For Jesus, because I'm his prisoner and he's told me to be quiet right now, so I'm going to be quiet. Again, folks, we got to get this in our mind. And we're talking about this whole book is about battle plan for prayer. Because when you're coming before God and you want to pray, you got to understand where are you with him and where are you with each other, with each other. You know, because the Bible makes it clear. I'm not making this up. You look up the scriptures yourself. I wrote these, look up these scriptures yourself. It's very clear. I got to have it right with you all if I'm going to go up here. And even if I want to give my gift, remember, I'm going to just sing for Jesus anyway. Oh, look out. Because we've seen the history. We've seen the history of the church. We've seen the great evangelists and televangelists. And boy, we've seen... Boy, back in the day, I was like, God, why would you let this be on national TV? Why would you let them be exposed like this? God, why would you let this come out? It's so bad for the church and it ruins the reputation of the church. Oh, because he's holy. Amen. He's holy, folks. He doesn't wink at anybody's sin. And he can deal with it being exposed. He can deal with it. I was crowd like, oh my God, not that one. Oh no, that's my favorite. Yeah. Folks, I'm telling you, he's holy. And he's not going to wink at any of our sins. When we don't have things right with our brothers and sisters, the vertical is interrupted. When this is not right, this is interrupted. So that's the take-home message. Let's get it right. The next point in your lesson, it says, Jesus taught whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue, let it go. Drop the issue, let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoing against him and others. Wow. Boy, that's kind of heavy, boy. They've done you wrong and you have to forgive. You have to drop the issue. You can't bring it up anymore and you have to let it go so that your Father in heaven will forgive your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. Mark 11, 25, 26. And can I give you a news flash? You need God's forgiveness.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
You need God's forgiveness every day. News flash, okay? None of us are walking in perfection. You need it every day. Not having God's forgiveness means you die in sin. And boy, I'm not saying this. The Word of God is saying this. He says, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. And that means I've got my sin with me. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. See, that's how heavy this is. You know, and, you know, I'm glad we're on such a lesson. Boy, I was blown away when I was. I'm like, boy, you know, Lord, I never looked at it like that. He says, yeah, you got to look at how heavy this is. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ, man, we got to get it together, man. We got to get it together. We need to be loving each other. You know, nothing between my soul and my Savior, man. That's been my motto. You know, nothing between my soul and my Savior. I'm like, I tell people, listen, I'm going to forgive you because I am not going to hell over you. I am not going to hell over you because life has been too hard for me to die and go to hell behind it. Okay. I mean, just think about it. Life's been hard. And then you let somebody else. Oh, no. Uh-uh. I said, I'm not going to hell over you. I'm going to forgive you and love you. So you can see how serious God is about us loving each other and forgiving. He's very serious about that. As we go on the lesson, we need to talk about the power of agreement. That's another important piece to this horizontal line, is the power of agreement between believers. Boy, we have, oh man, I get excited. The power of agreement that we have when we pray together. God incorporated a power within us through Christ when we pray together. Together. There is a special power. Let me just read it. There used to be an old deacon in our church back home. And he would be talking about the goodness of God. And he would say, y'all don't believe me. And he would say, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, he would say. Because we'd just be sitting there with a blank look. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. So Matthew 18 in your lesson, 18:19 through 20, it says, again, I say to you, oh boy, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. Matthew 18, 19 through 20. And boy, that's for the believers, okay? That's not for the unbelievers. I'm sorry. It's not for the Bible makes it clear. To that people that believe, this is for the believers, that when we hold hands, oh my God, when we hold hands and we get together and we start praying according to the will of God, you know, and if you know the word, you know what the will is. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, one is my favorite. It is not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I said, Lord, I stand on that one. And I start praying for people. Lord, I'm praying for this one. And I'm praying for this one's salvation. Oh, agree with me. Oh, let's agree for our children. Let's agree for so much we want to agree for, you know. So again, folks, when we talk about the strategy and the battle plan for prayer, oh man, we gotta not make sure that our prayer of agreement is not hindered. It has extra power in it. Jesus said right there, I am there among them. I am right there. And I have, boy, I don't know, I've been in prayer with some people, and I have just felt his presence in the room. That he was right there. You know, you see these pictures of Jesus, you know, with the surgeon, his hand on the surgeon, his hand on the businessman. Boy, sometimes I feel like he's right there with his hands on our shoulders, and he's right there in the prayer circle, you know, in the prayer group. Like, yes, yes, this morning we were praying. You know, we were praying this morning in the sanctuary, you know, just feeling Jesus right there. Yeah, come on, let's pray for, come on, let's talk to the Father about the service and about the people that are coming. And that I'm waking up right now and shaking them to come out, to the house of God. Let's pray for them that things will be done. As you study the word of God, again, you will know his will, you know, that he should, that he will come. And I'm going to read that scripture about people being saved from 2 Peter 3:9. If you want to write that, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his will. So you can pray that. You can believe that. I'm telling you, I believe that there are so many ways in which people come to Christ. And I believe Christ is not limited by time and space. God, Christ is not limited by the things. I believe the prayers that we prayed, and, you know, I had a friend of mine who's relative, their relative was shot. He was, you know, they had ministered to him and he was shot, and they were just grieving because he didn't know the Lord. And he had been told the scriptures, but he was shot, and they said he died instantly. And I've heard other stories. Another friend of mine said her nephew, he was in a car accident, and he was thrown from the vehicle. He lived for a little while, but he was out of it. He was in a coma, and then he came, and then he passed away at the hospital. And, you know, I just felt the Holy Spirit was telling me, I am not limited by time and space. I'm not limited by time and space. Just because you see it as a split second, I can step into that split second. Oh, hallelujah. And I can minister in that split second. You know, that loved one that they heard the scriptures in that split second, because you prayed for them, because you lifted them up. Because you lifted him up in that split second, I believe the Holy Spirit, God, can step into that split second and minister to them in that split second. Stop time and let them know, this is it. You're leaving here. Oh, I just believe that. I just believe the Holy Spirit ministered. And I was able to tell that friend of mine when her nephew was in that car accident. And she said, and then he lived for a while, and then it got him to the ER and he didn't make it. And I said, but in that time, but he didn't wake up. I said, but in that time, honey, a coma doesn't keep Jesus out. I'm like, Jesus can step into a coma. I don't, you know, I mean, you just got to know that your prayers make a difference. You know, as I said, that is one of my favorite ones. It is not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I believe he can step into those moments and those times, and he can move by your spirit. I know my own brother-in-law, you know, just died instantly, you know, he was in his 30s, and he just died instantly. Had just been to the doctor, died instantly, just got up and had a massive heart attack. And you know, one of his family members said that the Lord showed them a dream, and in the dream they saw him, and he just grabbed his chest and said, "Oh God." And he said the Lord ministered to them, because this is a young man that grew up in a Christian household but wasn't living like he should. And, you know, and he said he saw him say, "Oh God," when he grabbed his chest, and the Lord told him that was enough. I mean, I was like, when he told me that, I felt the chills go down my spine, because I said, yes. He said, that was enough. He called me. He called me in the last seconds. And that was enough. And I took him. You know, oh, hallelujah. Because in all of that, just that, oh, those two words, oh, God. We don't know all the things that went on in his heart toward the Lord. You know, so again, guys, that's why we pray. That's why we don't let stuff get in the way. You know, forgive people. Love them. Like, I don't even have time, because I'm thinking in the eternal right now. I can't think of the temporal stuff, you know, I don't want anything between us, because I got to be in prayer. But it says he's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. So keep praying for your loved ones. You know, get a prayer partner. We talked about prayer partners in the war room. So make sure you have your prayer partner, that person you can join hands with, because there's power. There's power, folks, in that prayer of agreement between two believers that will move mountains. Next on your lesson says, in this passage, Jesus teaches about prayer of agreement between two or more believers. Agreement in God and with God has great power in the lives of believers. Agreement between believers calls Christ into the midst of the situation. Recall the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the believers were in the upper room and they were all on one accord. Remember what happened? Oh my goodness. They were up in that upper room together and they were all on one accord. Oh, and the scripture said, and all these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That's Acts 1:4. So that was the situation. As they were waiting and praying together, you know, and I, you know, it's interesting how they mention all the different people that were there. The women were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. His brothers, Jesus' brothers were there, you know, not necessarily one of the disciples and the disciples, you know, so all these different people were there. But the situation was that they were all of one mind. Folks, you're one mind. We're all waiting on this Holy Ghost that Jesus talked about, and we're praying together, you know. So, and then Acts 2:1-4 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's Acts 2:1-4. So we must keep believing together for a mighty move of God. Folks, for our church, for our city, for our nation. Amen. Oh, folks, don't give up on the United States of America. We need to be praying together for the United States of America. And my sister said, God has not given up on this republic. She said, the Holy Spirit told her to say, God has not given up on this republic. And I was reminded of the song, God Bless America. Oh, man, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night. Because, folks, we're in a night right now. Through the night with the light from above. Oh, from the mountains to the valleys, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Folks, we need to sing that. We need to believe. We need to pray, you know. I mean, I know we've been kind of, you know, sometimes you get hurt by all the things that has happened in the nation. I don't know about you, but I get hurt. I get hurt because this is my country. This is, you know, I was hurt by some of the things that have been done, all some of the legislation that just broke my heart. I'm like, God, what has happened to her? What is she doing? You know, what is she thinking? You know, doesn't she know who she is, how she was established, you know? And my heart broke. I didn't even want to buy, you know, every 4th of July, I buy the, you know, they have the flag t-shirts. You know, one year, I ain't even buying a t-shirt. I'm mad. I was just mad. I ain't even buying a t-shirt. I'm just so disgusted with y'all, you know? So and the Lord said, no, you keep praying. Yes. You keep praying, you keep believing. You buy yourself a t-shirt, you lay hands on that t-shirt, that flag. You know, I'm looking at Margie wearing that flag right there. I'm telling you, you lay your hands on that flag. And you keep praying together and believing. Because God is going to send. Boy, just like it was in the upper room. You saw the situation then. They were running. You know, Jesus had been killed. They had their leader had been crucified and tortured and publicly humiliated and hung on a cross, you know, and that's their situation. And they didn't give up. They didn't leave Jerusalem. They didn't go running away. They didn't skip town and change their nationality. No, they stayed in that upper room. They didn't ask for asylum somewhere else. we got to get out of here, right? Because these people, you know, it wasn't very large at all. They stayed. And we're going to stay. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe God. And I believe a movement of the Holy Spirit will come to these United States. I mean, Jesus talked about the end time revival. Folks, I believe it's still coming, you know, this end time revival. You know, I don't believe we're leaving this. You know, my brother was, he said, we are not leaving here with our tail stuck between our legs. We're leaving here in power and in victory. Amen. That's the way we're leaving. Okay? You know? Like, we're not going to be hiding. Well, we're afraid to say Jesus out loud because, you know, We're leaving here in power. And we're leaving here in victory. But we've got to keep praying. We got to have that prayer of agreement. We got to stop fighting amongst ourselves. And have that prayer of agreement going. You know, so that we are agreeing together to win the souls that God has called. So again, we're gonna believe God. The agreement of believers will make all the difference. Okay, now we're gonna get into the heavy part. So past the horizontal lines, now we gotta get to the inner circle. Okay, so fasten your seatbelts on this one. So the inner circle of that symbol means to maintain a pure heart in prayer. Not a perfect, because none of us are perfect. We're talking about a pure heart, meaning you're being real before God, okay? You're not being fake or phony. You're being real before God because he sees it all anyway. The inner circle is about what you are willing to lay down to come into God's presence. Let me say that again. It's about what you're willing to lay down to come into God's presence. It is a place to park for a moment. It is a way station before you can go any further, folks. There's a way station if you want to go into the deeper places of God. If you want to come into the inner circle of God, there is a way station that you must go past. Daily prayer is your inner circle time. It is the place where you meet with the Holy Spirit and you are quiet as he speaks with your spirit. Folks, there comes a time when you just get quiet before the Holy Spirit. You just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit tell you about you. It's about the Holy Spirit just deals with you about you. You know, it's not a place where you know, it's a time where, Lord, I'm not making any requests. Just show me me. It's about you and me. It's a place where you're quiet as the Holy Spirit speaks. It's a place of reckoning with the Comforter and the Guide. The inner place is not a place. The inner circle is not a place of casual Christianity. I'm a Christian, just casual. It's not a place to be casual with God. It is a place for those who have decided to go to the deeper places with God. You've made a decision. Okay, God, I'm willing for you to deal with this. And you know what it is. It's different for all of us. I'm okay, Lord, I know this has been an issue with me going deeper in you because I'm holding on to this. I'm holding on to that. I don't want to talk to you about this issue, Lord. But it's a place, it's a time when you decide to go deep to the deeper places of God. Your lesson says before we go with the work that goes on in the inner circle, it must be made clear that this is a place of love. Oh, it must be made clear. The inner circle is a place of love. And I know we're so used to when you're called to the inner circle or the office, the private place, you think somebody's going to really blast you, right? And that's when they're going to really cut me open and fillet me open because they made everybody leave the room. So they're going to really lay into me. But you need to know that the inner circle is a place of love. Oh, you know, the enemy tells you all kind of things, but I'm telling you, the inner circle is a place of love. You are safe in the inner circle. Okay, you're safe. Okay, you can let down your guard in the inner circle. Okay, you can let it go in the inner circle. You can tell the secrets in the inner circle. You know, it is a place where you will be loved. It is a place where you are loved by God, known by God, and called by God. I heard somebody say that. You're known by God, you're loved by God, known by God, and called by God. God calls you to the inner circle. He wants you in the inner circle. He doesn't want you at arm's length with him. He wants you to come in to the inner circle. The inner circle is where you are changed into Christ's image. But first you must know love. See, that's why we keep our walls up, because we don't know love yet. We've been beat up, we've been betrayed, I thought they loved me and then they hurt me. I trusted them and then they betrayed me. And that's how we are. Nobody gets through life without these kind of hurts and wounds, and that's why we kind of keep that wall up even with God. But you've got to know, when you draw near and you come into that inner circle, you're safe. You're safe. You're in a safe place. It is a place where you're known by God, loved by God, called by God. The inner circle is where you are changed into Christ's image. But first, you must know that love. Love is at the entrance of the inner circle. Until you know you are loved by God, you will not release your full trust to Him. And that's true. Until you know you are loved by God. I know you've accepted Jesus Christ. Many people accept Jesus Christ, but they still don't believe they are loved by God. They still don't get it. They still don't really believe, I need to sit in the back because of what I've done, what my past was, what happened, or what happened to me and what people did to me. I'm damaged goods. He doesn't love me like He loves that perfect person sitting on the front row. So I'm glad when people testify and tell their stories. I appreciate you giving me that. I'm reading it, boy. Telling your stories, because then people are like, what, you went through that? Yeah. That's what happened to me. And it took me a while, but I began to understand He loved me. I don't know why. I can't get it. It doesn't compute why He loves me, but He does. And I finally came to a place where I believed Him. And then I can tell Him my secrets. He already knows them anyways. But He needs you to talk to Him about it. My fears. He knows my hurts. They hurt me. They hurt me bad. I never showed that they hurt me. But Lord knew. God knows they hurt you. And boy, those intimate conversations you have with God, man, He says some things that are like, wow. I've seen people, and that's why when you're praying with people, sometimes they just start to weep, because I believe the Holy Spirit is just saying stuff to them, where they can just let it go. Finally, I can let it go. The healthiest children are those who know they are loved. They're the healthiest kids you'll see around are those that know that their parents love them. These children will talk to their parents. They'll talk to their father, because their parents have shown them, no matter what, I'm here for you. And they'll talk. Those are the healthiest ones, when they know they're loved. Your lesson says, therefore, when you pray, you should keep no unconfessed sin or bitterness in your heart. And you should approach God humbly, repentantly, submissively, and in faith. And this is from our book. The inner circle is where you and God meet, spirit to spirit. Behind the veil and fully exposed before Him. Your approach to God must always be with humility. All of your arguments and self-righteousness are left at the door. Okay, you just come in humble. You come in fully exposed. You come in naked. This is me, God, seeing everything. With all the privileges that we have been bought for through the blood of Christ, you must never lay down His cloak of humility. That's what we always wear as you approach the Father. It's interesting, because it's hard for us to get all of this together in one concept. But your lesson says you come boldly and with confidence, as the scripture says, but never in arrogance. Never in arrogance. So you're bold and you're confident, because this is my daddy. I know He loves me. I can come bring my problems and my issues to Him. I can come boldly before Him, but I come with humility. I don't come with arrogance. You come with purity. Again, I said not perfection, but purity, meaning I'm being real. or seeking purity, knowing that only through the blood of Christ can you come. It's only because of the blood of Jesus can you come. It's not because you're all that. It's only because of the blood I can come. There's nothing I can do to get into his presence except through the blood of Christ. And it's enough. It's enough. That's why I said, you don't have to do penance. You don't have to go on a mission trip. You don't have to, only because the blood of Jesus makes it so that you can come regardless of what has happened and what you've done and what has happened to you. You can come. The psalmist said in Psalm 66, 18, he said, if I regard sin and baseness in my heart, that is, if I know if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me. There it is again. If I regard sin and baseness in my heart, that is, if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, 18. God cannot be anything but holy. He cannot bless sin. He will not overlook any man or woman's regarded sin, meaning you know about it. God must address it because he's holy. You cannot cover your sin before God with good works. The prophet Isaiah wrote, and so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Isaiah 29:13. Boy, that really kicks, doesn't it?
Yes.
Boy, am I just going through the motions? Or do I really love him? He knows if you do. And he knows if you're just going through the motions because you think you're going to buy points. There's no buying points. Jesus, as I said, the blood of Jesus or nothing. That is all God takes as currency, is the blood of Jesus. That's the only currency God is using with you, is the blood of Christ. And if you don't have it, you have nothing to buy your way in. God always wants your heart above anything else. Let me say that. God always wants your heart above anything else. He doesn't, your good works come out of loving him, but he wants your heart. Over your good works, he wants your heart. The inner circle is where you give it to him, piece by piece. The inner circle is where you give God your heart. Folks, it just doesn't come automatically when you accept Christ. That inner circle, there's something that goes on in the inner circle in your daily prayer when God starts to speak to you. And he starts to tell you about you. Oh, man. He will set the timing and the order of giving him. He will set the timing and order of you giving him your heart. He sets it. He'll set the time when we need to talk about that issue. Okay, he may leave it alone for a long time. But one day he may bring it up. It's time for us to deal with that issue because you need to be set free from it. Bit by bit, piece by piece. It will be hard at times, but the inner circle is where you learn to trust. Oh boy. It is a place where you're set free, is a place where you become open and honest. It's a place where you get intimacy with the Almighty. And boy, you'll never be the same. Oh, you'll be so free. So set free. Yes. So set free. The scripture says, for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask in prayer in accordance with God's will, believe me with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. That's Mark 11:24. And also see James 4:7-10. When you get to that intimacy with the Almighty, you know how to pray because you know him. You're getting to know him now and you know how to pray now, and you're seeing your prayers answered. Prayer in accordance with the will of God is key to answered prayers. The good news is that God is good. God is good. And when you pray in accordance to his good will, his word, good things will happen in our lives and in the lives of others. Because now we know how to pray. Remember, the scripture says you don't even know how to pray as you ought. You know, you're praying that Billy gets the job, and you're praying that Billy gets the house, and you're praying that Billy gets the car. Folks, I've learned, thy will be done. Because I don't know what Billy needs. You know what he needs, Lord. So I pray your will be done in Billy's life. And then as Billy's life starts, things start to unfold. I said, Lord, I thank you because I believe that your will is being done in his life. You know, and as it unfolds, God shows you his goodness. I've seen that so often. They didn't get what they wanted, Lord. But that was a good thing that they didn't get that. Because now I see how you're unfolding in their life. They wanted that person. They want to marry that person. They marry that person. Lord, let your will be done there. And that relationship broke up. And then God brought that beautiful person that they were meant to, God had for them. Oh, man, we gotta get this right. But it takes having an intimacy, because sometimes people just pray. You know, in the prayer circle, people just praying for stuff. I'm like, what is God's will concerning this? I just want to know, what is his will? And your faith, the Lord taught me this. Your faith doesn't kick in until you know my will. And you may not be able to see it, but when I tell you, then your faith kicks in. But Lord, I don't know, I'll see how this is going to happen. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And that's when your faith kicks in. I tell you, we've got to get this in order. We have to get the order right here. Because we think that God is our bellhop and we just tell him what to do and we pray and it's supposed to just happen. That's not the way it works. Well, why not? Because we don't know what we're doing. And if God answered all our prayers, we'd be killing people. We don't know what we're doing, you know? So, and I just, what kind of sense does that make anyways? Here you are with your limited knowledge, your limited understanding, and you want to call the shots. No. God is like, no, 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 no. You're praying, Lord Jesus. No, 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 no. I want him to start saying yes. Okay, yes, daughter. See, now you got it. Yes, yes. Don't you want to start hearing? Yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, that came out of my love. Oh, yes. And we want to be able to do that. So, again, we're talking about the battle plan for prayer, you know, and how we get this. We pray according to his will is the key to answered prayer, says your lesson. The good news is that God is good. Amen. Amen. And we pray according to his word. Good things will happen in our lives and the lives of others. And I think we have just time. I just want to finish this section. And once again, and your lesson says, once again, it must be emphasized, there is no place for pride and arrogance in the inner circle. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes.
In the inner circle, man, oh, folks, check that pride and arrogance at the door. You know, such things must be immediately dealt with. And so now I tell you, in the inner circle, that's the first thing I think, that's one of the first things God deals with. Okay, let's get over you. Oh, but they did. They did. No, let's talk about you and your attitude. The Bible speaks of the brazen altar. Boy, if you get a chance to go back and read Exodus 27, 1 through 8, you need to read about this brazen altar. It's so beautiful how God set up physical things in the children of Israel and in how he gave Solomon the instructions for the temple and the things that they had set up, you know, that have reflection on what God is doing today through Jesus Christ is just so amazing. They have this setup called the brazen altar. And this is the altar where the sins and the pride of men and women is sacrificed before they enter into the inner court of the temple and the Holy of Holies. If you ever saw the temple, and that's a picture in your lesson, you're looking at this is a view from the outer court, and that altar on the side, that's called the brazen altar. And then inside the building is the inner court. And then inside the inner court is the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
So before they could even go into the inner court, they had to go past that brazen altar. See, that brazen altar, that was where they had to make a sacrifice for their pride and their arrogance before they could even go into the inner court, the temple and the Holy of Holies, or the presence of God. It was the place in the outer court of the original Temple of Solomon before the entrance into the inner court, or the deeper and closer places to God. And I put in there, in your lesson, a definition of brazen, because you really need to understand that word, brazen, and what it means to be bold and without shame. You know, he went, and I put a definition, he went about his illegal business with a brazen assurance. Illegal business with a brazen. Brazen means you don't care. I'm sinning and I don't care. Yeah, I slapped her and I didn't care. I'll slap her again. I did this. That's brazen. You know the face I'm talking about. I'm sure you've seen it many times in your life. Yeah, I did it, and I'll do it again. You know, no repentance. Brazen, like brass, hard. You know, and that's what this altar was all about, because you need to go past here, because there's no way you're going to the inner courts with that type of attitude. It's called a brazen altar, where you have to lay that down. Metallic is another term. Endure an embarrassing or difficult situation by behaving with apparent confidence and lack of shame. You should be ashamed, but you're not. Mm-mm. You know, we've all seen it. We've done it, probably done it too. But we've seen it. And the Lord had them set up. Part of the instructions on the temple is that brazen, that altar need to be there before they can come into the inner court. So again, folks, boy, it speaks a strong message. You cannot go into that inner circle with arrogance and pride. You got to come in with humility to the inner courts of God. If you want to know the deep and the wonderful and the amazing things of God, you got to go past that brazen altar.
Karen, after the children of Israel went into the promised land, mm-hmm. the first thing inside the tabernacle was the brazen altar.
Was the brazen altar, yeah. Even when they were in the wilderness.
There were the white curtains all around. Mm-hmm. You walked through that door, mm-hmm. the first thing was the brazen altar.
And where that white curtain was, inside the white curtain where the brazen altar is, that's the outer court.
Right.
See, so this picture in your lesson, that's the outer court. And anybody could go in the outer court. Even when they built the Temple of Solomon, strangers, you know, foreigners, they could go in the outer court. You know, but they weren't going in the inner court, because that was a place only for the believers. And only a place where people that were willing to lay down stuff before they could go into that court. So yeah, that outer court.
Just go to the brazen altar once. It was every time.
Yes.
They came in, they had to repent.
Every
first.
Single time. Yeah. Wow.
Every little lamb.
And it tells you that every time you go into prayer, boy, oh man, humility. You come before God. That brazen face is the face of pride.
And there was four horns.
Yeah.
It was four horns and the brazen altar. Was a northeast, south, and west, or it covered.
Yeah. You can do a whole lesson on that. I know. It just gets deeper and deeper.
It wasn't just one horn. It was all of them.
Yeah.
Covered everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Joanne.
I was just going to say, this has to do with communion also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, direct communion.
Yeah.
Don't go before the Lord and receive communion and say, well, that's just a little.
Yes.
That is very, very important.
Yes.
To believers, and people should take it very, very seriously. Yeah,
very seriously.
Very seriously.
Yeah, before you come. I mean, yes, because that's why I said we get to a place of casual Christianity. And boy, you know, we got to if you're going to go to the deeper places of God, you got to get over that casual Christianity and get into what it means to really, and you won't regret it. You won't regret, you know, I'm telling you, what you're longing for is in the inner circle. What you're longing for. You know, I see people that seem like they're kind of bored with their faith. It's in their inner circle, because you're hanging out in the outer court. You need to get out of the outer court and make a decision that you're going to go past that brazen altar and into the inner court. But it's up to you. Nobody can make you do it. It's up to you. It's all personal. Let me just finish these last two lines. It says, David, the man after God's own heart, wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path everlasting." That's Psalm 139, 23 through 24. This will happen in the inner circle, where he will search you and he will know you. And if he will point out things that offends him in you. And boy, you'd be surprised. I thought I was all that, boy, but he started pointing out stuff. What? And you'll find you have intimacy again with the Almighty. And I just put this quote from this songwriter, this song, In the Garden by Alan Jackson, one of my favorite hymns. And I love it. It says, it starts out with, "I come to the garden alone." Yeah, I should have put that in there. But I come to the garden alone. This is not a corporate thing. But I'm coming by myself. And he talks about, meeting with Christ alone. And the chorus says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Wow, it's such a deep thing that he knows nobody has ever done this for me like he did. You know, because some people think that it talks about all Christians, but he's talking about nobody else has ever done this for me. None other has ever known. I haven't known this with anybody else but with the Savior. So folks, we want to go. Questions, comments.
When I first read about the breaking altar, to me the Holy Spirit, that was to be cleansed before you come into the inner court to meet with the Lord. And you had to confess all your sins before you enter that.
Yes, to go in that inner court. And I'm telling you, and the hard thing is that so many Christians are hanging out in the outer court. So many hanging out in the outer court.
And that's because they don't have.
Yes.
They don't know.
Yeah.
How to get past that. Apparently.
Yes.
Some of them have never gone to a Bible study. They think coming to church is enough. And not gotten into a Bible.
You're right. I'm telling you, the word will teach you. Yes. And the sad part, the inner court is not even it. Uh-uh. Then there's the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
I mean, remember when Jesus died, the veil was ripped in two, so you could even go into the Holy of Holies. But you can't even, if you can't get into the inner court,
how are you going
to the Holy of Holies? And Jesus died so you could go all the way in to the Holy of Holies. And we're hanging out in the outer court. And our folks, you need it. That's the longing in you, is that you want the inner court and you want the Holy of Holies. I'm telling you, you want it. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody else? It's a good lesson. Okay, so let's... Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that when Jesus died, the veil was ripped in two, Lord God. And we can go all the way in behind the veil, Lord God, into your very presence, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, for your people that we would not take that for granted, Lord God. Oh, Father, that we would get over the outer court. We would get over ourselves. We would get over our pride. And we'd be willing, Lord God, to approach that brazen altar. Oh, Lord, and lay ourselves down, Lord God, and lay down our pride and our issues, Lord God, and our anger and our resentments, Lord God. And that we would be willing, Lord God, to lay it down so we can come into the inner court. Oh, Lord, the deeper places of God. Oh, Lord God, our hearts are filled with joy. If we would just understand the joy that's in the inner court. Oh, Lord, the peace that's in the inner court, Lord God, the love. Oh, the love that's in the inner court, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I believe every human being on planet Earth longs for love. Oh, Lord, and it's in the inner court, Lord God. It's in the deeper places of God. So, Lord, I pray you would move upon us, Lord God, as Joanna was talking about Bible study and reading our word. Lord God, I pray you would move upon people to study their word, that they would know the word of God. Oh, God, that they would, oh, Lord God, oh, Lord, seek it out. Oh, Lord, that they would want to go deeper, Lord. Put a hunger in their heart to go deeper, Lord. Put a hunger in our hearts in this room, Lord God. Father, we don't come together just, oh, God, to have Sunday school and just to fill up space and time, Lord. We come, oh, God, because we want to go deeper. Oh, Lord, let the hunger grow in us so that we would want to go in the inner court and even into the Holy of Holies, Lord God. Father, we know we'll never be the same. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, and we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.